Hour number three, thank you so much for being with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. A very special guest joins us right now. He's a terrific media critic and has been for a long time, all the way back to his days with the Baltimore Sun. And by the way, once a WBAL contributor, you may remember him going on with Uncle Allie, Alan Prell, and of course with the New York Times, and a great author, including a book called The Late Shift, which is probably the foremost writing on the late night TV wars, which is what we're talking about on this night, the night before the curtain comes down on David Letterman's career. Joining us right now is Bill Carter. Bill, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, great to be with you.
Do you remember those days with Uncle Allie?
I do. I remember coming into that studio up on Television Hill. Sure.
And it's interesting. I was telling some people today that you were coming on, and believe it or not, there's still a bit of fear in these hallways, both in the television and radio side, about what Bill Carter will have to say about this newscast or this person the next day. So
I can't believe anybody's left.
Believe it or not, there are a lot of people left around here, and that's a good thing. But talking about David Letterman, were you surprised when he announced over a year ago that he would call it quits now, or do you think that makes total sense considering his longevity in the business and his good fortune and his dominance at times?
I wasn't surprised at all. In fact, you know, I think in the last, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years, he'd been taking very short contracts. And each time he renewed, it was a little bit of a surprise because he was getting to the point where he was going to pass, you know, Carson in terms of longevity and even age, his own personal age, on the air. And, you know, he got, you know, pretty close to 70. I mean, 68 years old. Carson was, I think, 66 when he stepped down. So, yeah, I was kind of expecting it. It wouldn't have surprised me any of the last maybe 2 or 3 times that he renewed his contract if he'd said that was enough.
When you I actually was going back to some old YouTube clips, and I found one. I guess it was technically the last night of Letterman's old NBC show, and Brokaw did a pretty funny interview with Letterman in Central Park. They were fishing there, and Letterman was kind of coy. It was how I kind of remembered Letterman growing up on the NBC show when he first got to CBS. He seemed somewhat dry in his humor, but the last few weeks I've seen a little bit more emotion out of him. Tomorrow night, when it comes to a close, what kind of emotional David Letterman do you think we'll see?
Boy, I think it's really kind of unpredictable because nobody really knows what kind of show he's going to do. Tonight's show, he's having his last guests, Bill Murray and Bob Dylan. Tomorrow, he has no guests lined up, so people are expecting to do what Carson did, which was, you know, sit on a stool and just talk about the show. But I don't know if Dave can do that for an hour. And he doesn't like high emotion. You know, he feels that there's an awkwardness to that. So it'll be really interesting to me to see what he chooses to do. He's a fantastic extemporaneous speaker. The guy can sit there and talk, you know, in complete sentences about anything. He's very articulate. I expect him maybe to be, you know, a little bit nostalgic, but I think appreciative of his career. And, yeah, I would expect some emotion out of him.
Bill Carter's with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. Bill, looking at what made David Letterman special, in your estimation, what was it?
Sensibility. He was the first guy that really brought this sort of ironic detachment to the genre and of late night. You know, he has tremendous wit. He's unbelievably funny. But there's a sensibility, like, you know, it's goofy but intelligent at the same time. Silly but really intelligent. And, you know, he could make comedy out of nothing. They used to call it found humor when they started the show because shows had to be very scripted. The comedy was all scripted on Carson and shows like that. And this was going to be, you know, let's take Dave to a store that says it only sells bulbs, just bulbs, right? And he just goes in and he talks about the just selling light bulbs, and then he asks if he can get a lampshade or a lamp. And, of course, they don't have that. And it's just him being funny, and he could just do that. And it was a totally new thing when he was doing it. And people had not seen a comic do that before, add this sort of irony to what was a form that was very pure. I mean, Carson's show was extremely polished, you know, very, very polished show business product. And Dave was doing this, you know, clubhouse, you know, kind of a really offbeat show, and it was almost a parody of a talk show, but while he's doing it, he's actually doing a talk show. And he was just brilliant at it, really.
And for my generation, and I don't really remember the 80s version on NBC, David Letterman, that well. I've seen a lot of clips. I kind of remember it. But that's not the show he's really done for the most part on CBS. Would you say that's accurate? It's been, it hasn't been The Tonight Show. It hasn't been Carson on CBS. It hasn't been what Leno was, what Letterman was doing on CBS. But it wasn't the NBC 1230 product either.
No question. And when he was leaving NBC, one of the big issues was, could this guy do the broader show? NBC was like questioning, well, you know, he's done this kind of offbeat, you know, hip show at 12:30 for college guys, but you know, he's going to have to be broader when he goes to the, you know, 11:30, the majors. He's gone up to the major leagues, and at the time he was offended by that. Dave was offended, and he said, you know, I know how to handle myself. I can do this. I can broaden my appeal, which is what he had to do because he was on at 11:30. He couldn't just have the smaller audience, but he retained, you know, quite a bit of that sensibility. He didn't do quite as many offbeat, goofy things, but he did some. You know, he'd send, you know, how many guys in bunny suits could get in a store, you know, and things like that. He would still do very offbeat things, especially in the first 3, 4, 5 years of that show. But you're right, it was not the same kind of loosey-goosey style that he had in the 12:30 show on NBC.
Legendary media critic Bill Carter with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. Bill, looking at the decision made way back when to, I guess, pick Jay Leno to take Johnny's spot on The Tonight Show and then Letterman going to CBS, if NBC had a mulligan right now, would they take it? And we'll start with that one.
Well, the guys who ran NBC at the time made this decision very, very consciously, and they made it for a big reason, which is that they thought Jay was a broader appeal guy and a more controllable guy. He's not a guy that gave them trouble. Dave gave them nothing but trouble at 12:30. You know, he would mock them on the air. He called them worms and pinheads and everything. And they were afraid of that if they gave the Tonight Show to him. And they saw in Jay a very loyal, steadfast guy. So would they take a mulligan? No. They would say, hey, we put our guy in, and Letterman wound up finishing second, basically, most of the time. We made a lot of money off Jay. Now, that's a business rationale. In terms of impact, in terms of cultural importance, I don't think there's any comparison. Because Jay, I admire Jay for being a hardworking guy and doing a solid job for them. But, you know, his impact on the medium and on other comedians has been, you know, nowhere near what Dave has. So Dave went for impact, and Jay went for ratings. And, you know, NBC being a business, they would prefer the ratings. But I think in the long term, people analyzing this will say, well, who had the more influential show? That would be Letterman.
And also, I think it's fair to say, and maybe you disagree, but I think Letterman has impacted the next generation of talk shows far more than Leno ever could or ever will.
Well, and there's just no doubt about that, because Jay wasn't looking to advance The Tonight Show. He was looking to, you know, elevate its ratings and keep it number one. That's what he wanted to do. So he didn't invent lots of new comedy. That wasn't what he would do, and that's not his style, and I'm not going to make fun of him for that. He was a monologist, mainly. He came out and told a very long monologue. And when he tried to do a lot of other comedy bits, sometimes it looked kind of strained. And Dave was the antithesis of that. He wasn't really a stand-up. He could do it very well, but that wasn't his defining style. His defining style was finding these new and crazy and offbeat avenues to comedy. And, you know, other comedians want to see that. They want to see originality. They want to see somebody who's reinventing the talk show. That's what Dave did. And so a whole generation watched him avidly, thinking, wow, this guy is brilliant. Look what he's doing. And, he has so many heirs across the landscape of television and comedy. And if you even look at, if you look at commercials, you often see a style that I think started with Letterman, which is this kind of, you know, something offbeat happens in the middle like you didn't expect it, or there's a detachment, an ironic detachment by one of the characters. I feel like that comes from Letterman, too. Huh. So I think his impact is so much broader than Jay's.
Interesting. Do you think the days of the late-night megastars are ancient history here?
Well, there's so many of them now, and, you know, one of the things Dave did was he opened the avenue to there being real competition. I mean, you know, Jon Stewart has been a megastar. Let's face it. The guy's hosted the Oscars twice, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a megastar. He's now stepping away. And Fallon has really gotten a huge following. And if you look at the number of people who look at some of his videos online, they're staggering, 20, 25 million people. So he's kind of a megastar now. I just think you can't get the mass audience that Johnny Carson ever got because it's way too much competition. And, of course, people can see these clips online. They don't have to sit up and watch the show. So the audience numbers are diminished. But I think the audience still likes this kind of performer. I mean, I think it's a very interesting and very American form, late-night entertainment. And these guys still get, you know, an awful lot of recognition. When you see the president showing up on all these shows, he thinks it's pretty important.
That's a great point. Yeah, I saw last week, Letterman won the week last week, I think averaging like 3.5 million viewers a night. What was Jay Leno, when he took over The Tonight Show, what was Letterman when he went to CBS? What was Carson at its height? I don't like it when people compare ratings from yesteryear. Yeah. We do this all the time on this show because people talk about, I always defend the numbers of the World Series. People say, oh, there's only 15 million people a night watching the World Series. I'm like, look at nightly news. Who's watching now compared to 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Everything's been reduced because of the options that are out there.
Of course. Jay and Dave were in the 6 million range, as I recall, when they were doing well. But that Johnny was way up there, 8 million, 9 million, because he was by himself.
Right.
And there was no other show. And there was no competition. There's nothing online. You couldn't go on Netflix, et cetera. So you're right. The comparisons are really silly. But I will say that if you think about it, let's say Fallon does 4 million a night. If he's doing 4 million a night and it's five nights a week, well, that's 20 million people. Now, it's not all different people, but it's a lot. It might be 15 million different people. That's a huge number of people in today's television that are still watching these shows.
No question about it. It's obviously lucre enough for the networks to pay him a boatload of money. A final question, Bill. How do you think Stephen Colbert will do?
I think he's going to be absolutely fascinating to watch. I mean, I know Stephen pretty well. He wants this. He's going to work really hard at it. He's a really, really intelligent man. He's way up there on the scale of intelligence. And I think he's going to embrace this. I mean, he's going to really go for it. People say, well, he won't be able to do his character. When he started, people couldn't believe he would do the character all that time, and he pulled that off. So how much easier is it just to be himself? It's bound to be easier. And he has talent people haven't seen. He's a terrific singer. He can dance. He has all those talents that Fallon has, and I think he's a brilliantly funny guy. So I'm eager to see his show. I think he's going to have his own spin on it, and it's going to be exciting.
Bill, we can't thank you enough. Truly a gentleman for coming on tonight, and we have enjoyed your work so much over the years, so thank you.
Well, thanks for the compliments. I appreciate it.
That is Bill Carter. Great insight into David Letterman calling it a career on late-night television. We'll come back with much more here on WBAL News Radio 1090.